All right. Wow. Can you hear me? I hear myself. That's the first time I've done that in a while. How many of you glad to be here? Amen. You know, we're on a journey. That's what the name of this sermon's going to be today. And I was thinking about that while ago when I went up and let one of the young ladies go upstairs so she could take pictures of her child being water baptized. And while I was up there, Trey came up to me and he said, is this going to be real scary? And I said, no, it's going to be just like going swimming. But then the thought hit me when I came back down here. It's like, yes, it is going to be scary. And it's not going in the water. It's living out what you just did the rest of your life. That's where the difference comes right there. So, and it's not scary. It's exciting. But one of the things about it, I want to go back. How many of you know that the Bible says that if we will listen to those that were in our past and imitate them, then we won't have to go through some of the things that they did because they were our examples. And I love to go through the scriptures and find that out because I want to know exactly what God's got for me, but I want to detour some of the things that they went through. I've learned through my life of hard knocks, there's some ways I just do not want to go unless I do. Just like Trey says, is this going to be a scary trail? How many of you know that's a good question to ask somebody? Because if it is, I don't want to go there. If it's going to detour me from what God's got in my life, I want to avoid that above anything else. Amen? So we're going to be talking about a journey. How many of you ever gone on vacation before? You know, you literally left your home and went somewhere, you know. Now, you can do that by going somewhere else. It's real close. But I enjoy when somebody says, let's go on vacation, especially my wife when she does it, because it's like, okay, this is a test. This is a real test, and it's going to be a real trip. So you better go ahead and get prepared for it. And what we do is when that happens, there's something, the adrenaline begins to go to pumping. And it's like, okay, where are we going to go? Let's map it out. Let's see. Let's do some research on it. Get on the internet. Let's find out what do they have there. What's the sights? Who can you see? What is all in that area? I want to do everything. Since I'm going there, I want to do everything that I can to enjoy that. I may never go that way again. But if I'm going to go, I'm going to have a good time. How many of you would say yes to that? You know, if you're going to go and you're just going to be there and be a dud for a week and just do nothing, you may as well stay home and stay in your yard. Save a lot of money. But if you're going somewhere, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the journey while you're going. And I thought about that, and it's like, you know, what we do is we begin to gather up things. We get materials. We get our map out. We get our dictionary out sometimes. You know, we start looking at things to do. We start finding snacks. When I drive, I eat vanilla wafers, and I get about 5 miles to a box of vanilla wafers. You know, it's just nothing like driving and popping one of them things in every now and then. It keeps you going. Of course, when I get there, I am so hyper because I am so pumped up on vanilla wafers to where it's like, now I'm going to have a good time, you know. I'm like a 10-year-old kid in a candy store, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But we get ready. We prepare for that. And I was sitting over there a while ago watching these young people come and get water baptized. Today is their day, most of them, not so much today, but they've already accepted Christ. But this is a kickoff for them, that this is the beginning of their journey. And my eyes almost filled up with tears, and it's like, oh God, I wish I would have known you when I was that young. If I was that young and I really had a heart after you like some of these kids do, and they really do, I'm going to tell you what, I have gone and preached in children's church before, and I am astounded at the things that our young people know. And they can pop scriptures out like that, and they not only that, when you tell a story, if you're incorrect, they will be real sure to correct you. How many of you know we all stand in a place of correction at times? You know, we don't all know everything. But I'm going to tell you what, we can learn from one another. But one thing we can do as adults is to help these young people. You look at them. You take a picture of them or whatever you got to do. But you look at those kids and say, God, if it's one thing in this world I want to do, I want to help this child to be everything that you have planned in their life. If I can just be a little bitty part of it, God, use me to help them. If it's just a word of encouragement, whatever it is, because they're on a journey. And if they're on a journey, I need to be there to help them just like you do. Amen? So that's what we're talking about today. And you need to know that God has got a map for you. If you don't know that, you need to know that. God has got a plan from you from point A to point B, he has got a map to bring you to that very spot. Now, it's up to us to figure out where and how and what's going on. Sometimes we can figure that out. Sometimes you cannot figure that out. There are things that's going to come your way that you just do not understand. And I could sit here and testify of things that I was thinking about. A church that just invited me to come up Tuesday night. In fact, they're going to have a lay renewal at their church. And I met this guy while I was putting a MODAD system in my mama's house down in a sewer hole. And I was digging. And he came up and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Kenny Cottrell." He said, "Wow, I've been wanting to meet you." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, I've heard a lot about you." And I said, "Well, I hope it's better than what you're seeing in this porta potty thing." But anyway, I got up and he said, "We're having a thing at our home and we really want you to come and to speak to the people that's going to be there." He said, "We got a whole bunch of people from Kentwood that's going to be there and we want you to come and share your story." He said, "I read your book and I like it." And he said, "I have got to get you to come to do that." And then the pastor's already said, "Come to the church." You know. So anyway, that's part of the program. But the key thing is we're going somewhere. Every one of us. And I want to go through the Old Testament, some of the things. And if you start, and I'm not going to preach from Genesis to Revelation today, but I do want to start in Genesis and tell you some things that went on in the book of Genesis. So we will know, because we have, how many of you in here have a story? Let me see your hand. Do you have a story? You are a witness. It's by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb is who we are. And if that's important, then it's important to God. And if we have a testimony, then we have a place to go. We have things to do and people to see in the future. We are on a journey for the Lord. Amen? Let's start in the book of Adam and Eve, in the book of the beginnings in Genesis. It says, they were in the garden. There was no sweat, no pain, no work, no shoes, no clothes, no problems. Just pick and eat. Talk to God every day. That almost sounds like a song. No problem. Just sit and drink and eat and enjoy life. Just sit there and talk to God. What a place to live. That was their journey. That's where they started. God said, "This is you. This, all of this is you." That's as far as they really needed to go at that time. And you know the story where they made the wrong turn. They must have not had their GPS on. And all at once, here they come and they lose everything in the garden because they did not listen to what God said do. There was disobedience interjected into their life and they used every bit of it to destroy what they did. Sometimes I wonder, especially walking around like last week, two times I almost had a heat stroke. I was putting a roof on a building at my house and I got so weak I couldn't even see the ground. So I went and just sit down on the roof and just poured water on me till I come back to get me going. But I was thinking about Adam and Eve when I was doing that. It was like, you know what? If they wouldn't have messed up, we wouldn't be having all this sweat. We wouldn't be having all these problems. You know, these women wouldn't be down there having to get drugs to take the pain away. What happened here? They made a wrong turn. Now, we'll get... Amen? They partook of the forbidden fruit. Abraham, God called him from the land of Ur. He was told to be the father of nations. He offered Isaac. He was accounted as righteousness unto God. A plan of obedience. Everything God told Abraham to do, he did it exactly like God said to do. He told him how to offer Isaac. He did that. He told him to leave the land of Ur. He did that. He did everything that God told him to do. But he got to one place and it says that he lied, or the Bible says he had a lapse of memory about his wife. Because Abimelech asked him, he said, who is she? And he said, she's my sister. Well, how many of you know it? It was his sister, half-sister, but it was also his wife at the time. And that one thing of disobedience began to go into his family, and it even went into Isaac, because Isaac was asked one day, who is this young lady, Rebecca? And he said, she's my sister. Well, she wasn't his sister. He married his cousin, but it was really his wife. Are y'all getting the picture here? You see the degrade of things that's going down? And look where we are today. But it all started because somebody was on a journey and they made the wrong turns along the way. How many of us have made wrong turns along the way? Jonah, he was sent on a journey. He started out with disobedience. God told him, he said, Jonah, I have a journey for you. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the word to them. I want you to tell them I love them, that I'm going to change that nation. Jonah goes down. I'm sure he said, okay, God, I'll do it. And he goes right down to the port, and he gets on a ship and goes the opposite way. He didn't go to Nineveh. He went to Joppa. He went totally the opposite way, 180 degrees away from where he was supposed to go. And you know what? God says, okay, you want to go the wrong way? I got some help for you. I'm going to help you get around in the ocean real good. I'm going to send this little submarine called a whale to you. And it's got some big juicy lips, and they're just going to suck you right up. And they're going to carry you all around out there until you get to the place where you can hear my voice again. And how many of you know that the Bible says Jonah prayed in the belly of that whale? And I imagine one of those first prayers was, God, help me. Don't let this little uvula little thing, whatever that thing is that hangs in your throat down in there, knock me out. You know, I'm sitting here with octopus tentacles all around me, and I'm sitting here with fish floating by and minnows and all kinds of creepy things. Get me out of here. And you know what? A runaway Christian is even a sickness to a whale. The whale says, man, I must have eaten something that really messed me up. And he goes over to the shore and bloop. Pops Jonah right out on the beach. Well, you know what? Jonah all at once came to his mind. And aren't you glad for the second chances? He said, God, where do you want me to go? God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to do what I told you to do the first time. And the Bible says Jonah did exactly what God said. And he went there and he preached. And those people got saved. And it turned a whole nation around. A whole nation. And I wonder sometimes on our journey that we're on, the places that we're going in our life, if we just took the simple things that God said to do, how important and how big it would be if we just did what God says to do. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You know, we can read about Jonah and we'll think, well, Jonah, he just messed up. Well, you know what? God still used him even after he messed up. And you might have messed up. You might have heard wrong, or you might have did wrong. Might have been disobedient about it. But if you will go back to that place and say, God, I'm sorry I did that. And I repent of it. And I want you to use me. I want you to take me and use me. Put me where you want me to be. And you got to stop and think about the city of Nineveh. That was a horrible, barbaric people. If you went there and crossed those people, the first thing they would do, they would skin you alive and take your skin and wrap it around the post of that city, to make you an open show of what was going on there. Now that would scare me a little bit. That would be a little scary. But how many of you know when God tells you to go somewhere, he will be there to protect you. He will be there to provide for you. And he will be there to show you and give you the words to say. Amen? Amen. It makes a difference when we know that. Samson had a Nazirite vow. He had no wine in his life. He had no cutting of his hair. He had great strength. He had the power of God in his life. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. How many of you in here have the anointing of the Holy Ghost? He had the same thing, but I'm telling you what, he had great power because he was doing what God wanted him to do. But it says that he went, and one day his GPS was turned off, and all at once here comes Delilah, and she caught his eye. And you know the rest of the story, where he literally went, laid his head down in her lap, and she wanted to know, Samson, where do you get your great strength at? And he told her, eventually. I'm shortening this. I'm paraphrasing you, okay? And I'm not an actor either, by the way. But nevertheless, you know the story. He was a human being just like you and I. And he got tricked into this situation. And she literally found his power and told the enemy where it was. And you know the rest of the story. Not only did they take him and gouge his spiritual eyes out and his physical eyes, he lost the Holy Ghost and didn't even know that it had departed from him. And he was bound by his enemies, and now he's at the treadmill pulling like a donkey to grind corn. What a horrible picture to take the wrong turn when God has got so much for you. But how many of you know the story don't end there? Because he says, God, if you'll just let me do this one more time. You know, and I'm convinced that his head was shaved probably slicker than what mine is. But somewhere along the way, he reached up there one day and he felt a few hairs. And he said, Something's coming back. Now I remember the things of God. Now I remember where I got my great strength. And now I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not only the power, but the conviction, and things begin to happen in his life. And the Bible says that he got a little boy to come, and the Bible also says that he took the pillars of that great city and pulled them down and destroyed more people then than he ever did before. God is a God of second chances. If you get off track, he will put you back on track. If you made a wrong turn, he will show you. He will recalculate you. You either have a GPS, know what that word is. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But he had some things, but he lost his power. He lost his sight, but he didn't get his sight back. But I'm going to tell you what, he got his power back. And he got back into the graces of God. The next one I have on here is David's journey. Here's a man that was after God's own heart. I mean, he did all these things. It says, an anointed man of God. He was picked by God, handpicked by God. You know, God looked over all the whole family, and he said, there's got to be one more. And they found David in the field, and they said, go get him. And he came. God picked him to go do a great and mighty thing. How many of you know that you've been picked? It's not by chance that you're here. It's not by chance that you are who you are in Christ, because God handpicked you. I just wish you'd have picked me earlier. He waited till I was almost right before he got me. But that's okay. God's still got a plan. I learned a lot of things. And thank God you don't have to go through that anymore. Because I'll warn you, don't go down that street. There's a booger bear down there, and it will hurt you. Amen? He was a mighty warrior. He was a songwriter. He was a shepherd. He was a lion killer, a bear killer, and he was a giant slayer. This is David we're talking about. David is on a journey. David has got somewhere to go and something to do, and he's doing it the way God says to do, and it's all recorded there. But one day, the Bible says when kings went out to war, David did not go. David decided not to go on that journey, and he got off of the main journey that he was on, and he looks over on the roof of a house and sees a naked lady sitting there taking a bath, and it got his attention. And he ends up sinning with Bathsheba. And then he ends up lying about what he did. And then he ends up killing her husband. And things aren't looking too good for David, because it looks like the whole thing is coming to an end. He even lost his family members every now and then. One of them would die or something would happen. But God still loved him. And he was able to come back. You know how he got back? He repented of what he did. When Nathan the prophet came and put his finger on his nose, and you go look up the story, you figure out what that was. But when he went, David says, thou art to do something with that man. And Nathan looked at him, he said, you are that man. You're that man that made the wrong turn. You're the man that was on a journey. You're the one that had things to do, and you got detoured because you went with Bathsheba. You did that. David could have been killed. But God spared his life. And you know the rest of the story. But you read that sometimes and see what he did. Peter's journey. He was a fisherman. He was picked by Jesus. He had a revelation of who Jesus is. I think about these stories, and I look today in our day and age, and I watch people that served God with all of their heart. People that was called of God to do what they're doing. And I look around, and every now and then I find one of them, and they're so backslid you can't even find them. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. They don't want to have nothing to do with God, because somewhere along the way they made a wrong turn. And I think about the anointing that I used to see on people's lives that I don't see anymore. And they're not where God wants them to be. God forbid that we ever get to that point. Amen? But nevertheless, Peter, that's the way he started. He fed the multitudes. He was one of them that took the bread and the fish, and he began to feed the people and do the things that Jesus told him to do. He was the only one that I know of that ever walked on the water. The only one. I mean, he was a man of faith, and he saw things, and he wanted that. To me, he was the most all-American one of all of them. You know, it's like, I'll try. Whatever God said, you let me come out there? Yeah, come on. So he took off. And he, you know, of course, the story, he went down, but he came back up. He was one of the three that was close to Jesus. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there. But then one day, something happened, and they began to beat on Jesus. Peter comes out, he pulls his sword out, and he whacks a guy's ear off, one of the guards. Jesus, instead of letting Peter go and be killed for what he did. He took the ear and put it right back on the man. So now there's no evidence of anything that happened. And then Peter, Jesus tells him, he says, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you're going to do that. And you know the story where Peter did. And he ran on the day of crucifixion. He ran away from the thing that he stood for the most in his life. When the pressure got bad, he turned and ran away. It's one thing to turn and miss a turn, but it's another thing to see something and turn and run away from it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because that's what a lot of people do. Instead of missing the turn, and we will all miss a turn once in a while, I promise you, if you go anywhere, you're going to get confused about something and take the wrong street and get in a lost place there in the natural. But sometimes in the spiritual, we may do the same thing. But it doesn't mean that we have to stay lost. It just means we need to get back on track for what's going on. But then there's things that will come your way and you will literally run from it. It's time for the church to quit running. It's time for us to start running and giving the gospel to people and telling them about the love of God. And that we can take the good news to everybody, everywhere. We have nothing to fear. My Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And if that's true, who do I need to fear? I have to fear no one. Our journey. Oh, let me put this. It says, all of us have sinned and every man has turned his own way. The scripture says that, by the way. It says, we have all been tempted to turn the wrong way. We've all been tempted to run away. How many of you have been tempted to turn away sometimes? You know, we're just like the children of Israel. I mean, they had nothing in Egypt but hard work. They were slaves and they left and there they going. They're headed toward, they were on a journey. I'm not going to talk about that story. That's going to be a Wednesday night story. But they were on a journey to the promised land. And they get half, not even halfway there, and they already wanting to go back into the slavery part of their lives. And I see people today that will get saved, and they've been saved 15, 20 years. And now they're dabbling with things that they should never go to. Those things will hold you in bondage. Those things will destroy and suck the life completely out of you if you let those things come. We have got to watch it as Christians, to watch temptation, recognize it for what it is and what it will do for us and to us. And if we come to that place and realize there's a temptation that we will never get over, it's always going to be there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking heresy here. I'm talking about if you're a human being, you're going to be tempted in different ways. Was not Jesus tempted in every way? The devil came to him over and over. He said, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, trying to bring that doubt, to bring him to a place where he was on a journey and he could have turned away from that and even almost did one day. The Bible says when he was in the garden that he was praying, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Now, how many of you know that Jesus, the 100% man that he was, plus 100% God, he had a choice to do here? Aren't you glad he chose the right way? That was a perfect example for us to know that God has got a plan for us and he wants to do something in us, and we should not be deterred away from that plan in any way. Now, one of the things I want to talk to us about is about our journey. We talked about all these people in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, where they started, their journey, where they were going, what was going on in their life. Their story has already been done. There is nothing else that can be changed about their life or their story. They're all on the other side. But our story is where are we? Where are you today? What is going on your journey? Because if you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you have a journey that you're on. And you can be tempted, you can be detoured, you can be turned around in a lot of different ways. If you're not paying attention, it can happen to us because we're no different than anybody else. Amen? But I want to ask you, what has God done in your life? What is your story? What is God doing in your life today? Where are you on your journey from point A to point B? I would call that from Egypt to the Promised Land. On your journey, where are you going? And by the way, you know, the Promised Land was only 275 miles from Egypt, and it took them 40 years to go, and 2.5 million of them didn't even get there. That tells me that the odds are stacked against a lot of people. But how many of you know that we got the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, they had to watch God in a cloud. They had to watch Him in the fire. They had to see, listen to Him through another man. You and I can listen to Him every day that we go somewhere. He's just a breath away. He's just one prayer away. We have no excuse not to make it to heaven. Amen? No excuse whatsoever. Where have you come from? You ever stop and think about, I was up there the other day in Kentwood digging that hole for that MODAD system, and that was a huge hole. I mean, that thing is 12 feet long and 6 foot deep and 5 foot wide. I had no idea that tank was going to be that big. But I had to put that in there, and me and another guy I went to school with, I hadn't seen in 40 years. He was the guy that I paid to do it, and I looked at one time, and I brought a lawn chair because I still got a broke bone in my foot. And I was in there digging the thing out, and I'm looking for him. And I look, and he's in my lawn chair sitting under a tree. And I said, "Jimmy Ray, there's something wrong with this picture here." He said, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Oh, I need some water." I said, "That's what the problem." I said, "No, I'm paying you money to put this MODAD system in there, and you're sitting in my chair under my tree drinking my water. There's something wrong with this picture." But I was thinking about talking to him. We were reminiscing about where we came from. And I said, "Jimmy Ray, what's going on in your life?" And he told me, and he's a successful businessman. He's done a lot of stuff. Then this other guy comes up, and we get to talking about stuff. And this other guy comes up, and he says, "Kenny," he said, "I remember you when we were in school." And I said, "Well, don't tell this other one." And he said, "No, I do remember." He said, "You know, what we considered bad back then is nothing compared to today of what's going on today. Because I never stole, I never killed, I never did none of that stupid stuff. You know, I was always a good kid, but I was a jokester, a prankster. We did a lot of goofy things that we probably should have never done." But he remembered that. He remembered when I left home and all the things that went on there, and all the things that I used to drag race and stuff. And he started telling me. And I had forgot about most of this stuff. And he's telling me story. And I'm sitting there listening to him. And all at once, it's like, "Who is this guy you're talking about?" And then I realize he's still talking about you. Duh. You know, and it's like, "Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that." And he said, "But I tell you what." He said, "I've heard of what God's doing in your life now." And he said, "That really challenges me." So I got to witness to him a little bit, and I asked him, I said, "Jimmy Ray, I'm going to ask you up front, buddy. I said, have you ever accepted Christ in your life?" And he said, "No. I tried that one time, and a church fell apart that I went to. And then I had a friend that was supposed to be a Christian, and he did some things, and he said, that fell apart." And he said, "Everybody I've ever been around that was religious," he calls it, "religious people fell apart." And I almost agreed with him. I said, "Yeah, because if you're hanging with religious people, you're standing on quicksand. You're standing on a banana peel and on the edge of hell, you know. But when you're standing with Christian people, and I'm talking about true born again Christians, they will sustain you. They will help you. They will lead you. And they will guide you in many ways." Can I get a better amen than that? Where are we now? What is God doing in our life today? What is God doing in your life right now? That's what this whole mission is about that I'm going up there Tuesday night to talk to these people about. That's one of the things, the main subject about lay renewal is, where is your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? And what do you want to see Him do in your life starting today? And if it's one thing I want to challenge every one of us, what is God doing in your life today? What do you foresee this week coming up? What do you see God doing in your life as far as getting you more committed, to get you on fire, that you will start studying the Word of God, that you'll start praying more, that you'll start witnessing more, you'll get more involved at the church, you'll get more involved with people's lives? What do you want to do? Where are you in that? Are you in that place to where it's like, "Yeah, God, I do want to do that. I do want to be more involved. I do want to be where I can love people more. I want to be able to rub shoulders with people and know what they're going through. God, I want to be one of those that would be a healer to those that need to be healed. God, I want to be an encourager to those that need to be encouraged." See, that's not only Pastor Terry and my job. We don't get paid to do that. That's a gifting that God has given us as being pastors of a church. But he uses every part of the body of Christ to do that. God has got some great things for every one of us. Dr. Lynn preached on this last week on Monday and Tuesday night about that the church does not know who we really are and the power that God has instilled in us. I mean, we are to be the most earth-shattering, moving people on the face of the earth. The people, the media are to recognize the church and say, I don't know what it is with these people, but I'm going to tell you what, they got it together. They know what they're doing and they know where they're going. And they don't bat an eye at nothing. I don't care what you throw at them, they overcome it. Amen? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I mean, when we get to that place, they're going to recognize us. You know who they recognize us now? A bunch of weak, mamby-pamby people that don't do nothing, that argue all the time and jump from church to church and never have anything good to say about anybody other than, if you ain't saved, you're going to hell. Well, if we know that, we need to keep that message to ourselves. And we need to show that person that is going to hell how to get to heaven without telling them that. Now, I do know you got to, when you witness to people, you got to get them to that place where they understand that they're lost before they can be found. But so many times we find out who they are and what they're doing. We want to condemn them to death. It's like, ain't no hope for you. You know, you need to get, somebody needs to get a hold to you. And it's not me. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you find somebody like that and you cross paths with them, it is you. You need to be the one to get them out of there. That ain't even in my notes. Where are we going? Where are we going? Do we know where we're going? Do we know the mode of transportation that we're getting there? I know where I'm going. I'm going to tell you what, I learned a long time ago. I'll never forget when I got saved in that Lady of the Lake Hospital out of being blind for 9 months and God totally healed my eye, that I knew when I got up and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And I want to make heaven my home. And God, I'll repent of my sins and I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do and I'll say what you want me to say. There was something that was born inside of me, not only the Spirit of God, but a destiny that I knew that heaven was going to be my home. And I knew from that day forth that I was going to heaven one day. And I don't care if it's before you or after you, I want you to be there. And I'm going to go, and I purpose it in my life. It ain't no sin, ain't nothing going to come along to stop me from doing that. It might try to detour me because I'm just like anybody else. But I'm going to tell you what, my vision is still set on heaven, on a city whose builder and maker is God. Now, we need to get that. We need to come and have that excitement in our life. Brother Terry was talking about I still learn. And I am, brother, for 67 years old. I learn new things once in a while. You know, I am an old dog that can do a new trick every now and then. But I'm going to tell you what, I want to learn more about heaven. But I want to learn more about people and what God's plan is to get me from here to there and bring as many as I can with me. See, when I was lost and living for the world and the devil by at large, and I hate to even say that, but I was a good one. I led a lot of people down the wrong road. I mean, I shared things that I probably shouldn't have and did things that made bad examples. But I'm going to tell you what, when I got saved, it's like, you know what? If I was that bad for the devil, I can be that good for the Lord. And some of those same people that I led, one of them was that guy that I was telling you about over a MODAD system the other day, talking to him about Jesus. He was one of them. It was 3 years younger than me. And they all looked up to me when I was going through school because they thought that was so cool back then, the things that we were doing. And it was not cool. It was basically stupid. Amen. How many of you know stupid is a lot? Stupid is as stupid does. Well, I'm a recipient of that years ago. But thank God that now I'm on the right path and doing what God wants me to do. Amen. Because we're on a journey. We're doing what God wants us to do. We're taking a trip and we're getting ready. Amen. One of the things that we do when we start going on a trip. Somebody laughed at my GPS a while ago. I said, man, where'd you get that antique thing? You know, it works, you know. But taking a trip, you know, what do? We get our map out. We get our GPS. You know, some of you got GPSs on your phone right now. You probably can turn it on and it says you are here right there. That's kind of cool. It's kind of up-to-date stuff. But we do that. And it says it's a GPS. That's a global position sensor right here. Now, how many of you know that this is kind of like what God does in our life too? Because we're on a global position sensor. The global is the whole world. The whole world can come up on this thing. We got it right here. Here's it. Isn't that good? You know, you thought that came from here, didn't you? But it didn't. It came from anyway. The whole world is global. The next thing is it's a position. Where we are and where we want to go. That's what's so cute about this thing right here. You can turn it on and get it going. And you can put in there where you are. And you can put in there where you want to go. And it will track you right to where you're going to go. Isn't that neat? Now, you know, if that is something that man can come up with this kind of concoction, just think what God can do in our lives. Because the sensor is where the need is, and it's the type of the Holy Spirit, and it's people and directions in our life. Now, I'll tell you what, this thing right here, I brought it down to Florida when my son got married down at Boca Raton, and we were coming back, and that pastor had asked me to preach at his church in Tampa, Florida. So we're coming up Alligator Bayou down and up the west coast of Florida, and we got our GPS on. And we get on the big old bridge that comes across Tampa Bay, and we're driving on a bridge, it's much like the causeway, but it's a little shorter. And we're going, and Janice is saying, I think you need to turn right. I think you need to turn right. She's got a map. I got the GPS on. And this thing, Miss Geepus is what I call her, because she talks to you. And she tells you where to turn and what to do. And she's telling me to turn left in 50 feet. Turn left in 50 feet. And I'm looking, and it's like, I am on a bridge. There are no exits here. None. And I got Janice on one side. I think we're going to take a right down here. And Miss Geepus is telling me to take a left. And it's storming so bad that you can't even hardly see out the windshield. My wipers was wide open and I barely could see the front of the car. And it's like, I am fixing to lose it. And I told him, I said, shut up. I got two women talking to me and neither one of them know where they want to go. And I'm on a bridge and it's pretty obvious I'm going to go where this bridge is saying go. Now, life, how many of you know, that may be funny to you, but if you're driving, you're not liking that. And by the, it was also almost 12 o'clock at night while all this is going on. Now, I'm thinking, and it's like, you know what? Life is a lot like that. You got some over here saying go that way, some over here saying go that way, and you know you can't do it. They don't even have an exit there. You're on a bridge to somewhere. You're going somewhere with your life. And where the need is, the Bible says our steps are ordered of the Lord and He will lead and guide you. Did He say that in John 14:16? It says the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will lead you and He will guide you and He will teach you and He will show you of things to come. And it's like, why do I need Miss Geepus in my car? She don't know where she's going. And I need God to show me what to do and how to get there. And it's amazing. I went down three or four more exits with nobody talking. I'd already scared Miss Geepus. And Janice was like, just go for yourself, you know. Just go for it, you know. So she's sitting there. And I just drive down there and I get off of the exit. I felt good about getting off of that exit. I got off and I turned and I found a motel. She said, where are you going? I said, I see a light in that motel. I'm going there. I'm going in there and I'm going to go to sleep. Tomorrow when I get up, I will find out where I am supposed to be. I know where I am right now. That's all I need to know. There's a bed. There's breakfast in the morning. That's all I want to know. So I went. We checked in that motel, stayed in there. One night, I get up the next morning. I called Pastor George and I said, Pastor George, he said, where are you? And I said, well, I don't know, brother. I said, I have no idea where I'm at. I just know I can see water on both sides of this motel. And he said, oh, yeah. And I told him, I think it was a Marriott or something. And he said, you're at the Marriott Hotel. And I said, yeah, it is with the Marriott. He said, oh, yeah, you're only about 5 blocks from where you're supposed to be. And it's like, yeah. See, I told you. I didn't say that to Janice. No, I did not. A journey can be fun. Amen? If you'll enjoy the ride along the way. It's a lot of things to see. I'll tell you what else my GPS will do to me. It'll talk to me. When I need fuel, it'll show me where to get it. When I'm tired, it'll show me a motel. When I'm hungry, it shows me a restaurant. If I need a hospital or a doctor, it shows me right where they are. If I need to be towed, it'll show me where the tow place is. If I need points of interest, it will show me that too. And if I need to go back home, it'll show me the way back to my house. Now, if you have a GPS and you have your home address in your GPS, take it out. Because there are people, if they steal your GPS, guess what? They know right exactly where you live. I found that on the internet the other day. And it's like, I never thought about that. The problem is, it is wrong at times. The GPS is wrong. God is never wrong. If we will listen, if we will tune an ear to listen to what God is saying, it will be the most exciting, the most fun thing you will ever do on the face of the earth is to hear where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. I mean, we're talking about a good time here. I'm not talking about a vacation. I'm talking about a journey that's exciting. How many of you want to have an exciting life? You know? Another thing is, it also tries to take the place of God. You know, I thank God for technology. I'm making fun of it. But this is a good little instrument to have, because sometimes you'll need that to get you out of a bind where you don't know where you are. But there's nothing like listening to where God is and letting God lead you out of places that you know that you shouldn't be there. And He'll tell you, come this way. I'll never forget, I'm just reminded of the place. I'm looking at Chuck when we went down to Peru. We had all of our medical supplies and all of our food. Dr. Mortor, you remember this too. We went down there and it was like we told everybody, do not put any old medicines, dated medicines in anything. Because if you do, when you get down there and they find it, they're going to take everything that's in there. Well, Dr. Mortora had thousands of dollars worth of her own instruments in one of those cans that we brought. And on the plane down there, one of the girls from another place that joined our team to go there from Georgia, she said, man, I just found all kinds of medicines and stuff. It's been around for years, and I just threw it all in there. And I said, you did what? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, was it dated? And she said, oh, yeah, it's been out of date, but it's still good stuff. And it's like fire went from my feet to my head. It's like, I can't believe you did that. You put this whole missions team in jeopardy by putting that medicine in there, and if we get stopped, they're going to take everything that we got, including her instruments. And it's like, Lord, you got to help us. I don't know what to do when we get down there. So we get to the airport at Peru. And we get out the planes and go in there to customs. And I'm looking, and they got people wall to wall, 50 foot deep everywhere. So I told the whole team, it was 12 of us, I said, just spread out, go through, try to get through this thing. So they all do that, and I'm standing there, and I'm still mad because of what this one person did. And I'm standing there, and it's an opening about as wide, about 30 or 40 feet wide, all the way out from where I'm at to the parking lot where the buses are. No people, no nothing, just a wide open area. And it's like, Lord, I need to get there. And I didn't even say that. It didn't even hardly come out of my mouth. And this little girl, the prettiest little Peruvian girl you've ever seen, with a little outfit on, it was dressed like an airline stewardess. She comes walking out of a door on this side of the thing. And she said, Grupa? And I said, yeah, Grupa. She says, pass. And when she said pass, I hollered, everybody from Victory, get over here. And they all came. Y'all remember that, Chuck? They all came over there, and she let us walk right down that walkway straight out of that airport. They never checked a thing that we had. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? A GPS is not going to do you that. Only God can do that. Because God works on both ends of everything that we do if we will let Him. If we will just tune our ears to what God is doing, we will see miracles. And today, how many miracles did y'all see today? I saw one come walking right up here. Amen? I saw 10 or 9, whatever it was, right there, become born again. And by the way, being born again and following the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest miracle you're going to ever see. I don't care, you can feed 10,000 people, but one of them gets saved and it's worth it all. Amen? But it's on a journey. When we're on a journey, we will see what God is doing everywhere around us. And we will know what He's doing. He wants to go on the journey with us. Let me put this part. You know, one thing this thing will do right here. When you make the wrong turn, she comes on recalculating. And it's, oh, man, here we go again. I've made a wrong turn. And one time she even told me, turn around in 300 feet. And it's like, how does she know where I'm at? We still have to read signs. God gives us signs. A GPS does not do that. A GPS, as far as I know, don't show you a red light if it's green or red. You can run it or you can sit there, whatever you want to do. But it does not show you along the way the stop signs, the yield signs, the caution signs, the turn signs, the detour signs, and the delays that might be in front of us. Those are things that we have to look at and see to make our own decisions about things. But when we see them, it doesn't mean it is over. We just hold them up to where they are, what they're there for, and we listen to what they do or do what they say do. Another thing is, people sometimes are in the road, and we definitely don't want to run over those people. Sometimes people are going the wrong way, and they might be in your lane. I was coming to work the other day when I had that little red Miata, and I'm coming down Grima Springs Road, minding my own business, and I just prayed, God protect us, God protect my wife, my children, God do what you need to do in us. God, I want you to use me today. Protect me. I don't normally pray for protection, but I'm driving that Miata right there on Grima Springs Road, right before you get to Hooper Road, and on the right-hand side before you get to the post office is about a 15, 20-foot ditch with a big old cover in it. And I'm in a Miata convertible at 9 o'clock in the morning driving this way. And I look up and I see this guy coming my way. He's 3.5 feet into my lane of traffic. And you can tell he's texting. He's looking down and he's doing this the whole time. And I'm watching him and I'm watching the ditch. And I'm going 45 miles an hour. And I've already moved over. And it's only this wide before it goes off of that bluff. And I'm right on the edge of that, and I'm looking at him, and I'm blinking my lights and blowing my horn. And when he gets within 10 foot of me, he looks up and sees me and moves over. He could have took my life right there. Or run me off the road, I'd have flipped upside down in a convertible, I'd have been a dead duck. You know? But nevertheless, God saw that He still has a plan for me in my life. It lets me know that I'm on a journey. And it promises me that God is going to be there when I need Him there. And He's there for you too. You may never go through some of that things, but there may be things that's happened that you don't even see sometimes and understand. I feel like that commercial. You ever see that guy that's on that car? Sometimes he's walking and they've got this big thing over him and he takes one step and it falls. He takes another step and he's going and a car misses, just runs right by him. Well, that's the way our life is a lot of times. Because God loves you. He wants to be in your journey. He wants you to know that He's with you on your journey. And when you need something, all we got to do is say, God, I need you. God, I need you to show me what to do. Now, if it's important enough for God to save me through situations like that, why don't I say, God, what do you have for me today in store? I already know that I'm highly favored. I already know that I am blessed of you. I already know that you have protection for me. And you are guiding my steps. But God, the most important thing I want today is I want to know where you want me to go. And I want to make one of those divine connections that you have for me. How many of you know that that's a good day? When you go through a day like that, you've done a good thing. And God's pleased with you if we will follow through with what we're doing right there. Another thing we need to remember, the dash. Pastor Terry talked about this one time a year or so ago. But there's a dash. That is when you were born. It's got a date right there. Mine was 1944. And it's got a dash. If you go by any cemetery, you'll see that engraved on their headstones. When they were born and when they passed away. Well, the most important thing was not that beginning and not that end. It was what happened during the middle of that. What happened in that person's life that was good? What happened in that person's life that was bad? But what happened in that person's life that gave God the glory? And I'm going to tell you what, I wish I could take my dash, because mine looks like dash, 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 dash all through there. I wondered sometimes, would I ever make it? Being on my deathbed twice, it was like, my time is fixing to be up. That time that I started is fixing to end. Somebody's going to be engraving something on my tombstone sooner than they need to be. But God saw fit for me to live as long as I have. But I'm going to tell you what, while I'm alive, I want to make everything possible that I can to make sure that that dash glorifies Him. That everything that I do, that He gets the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Because that's all we got, is that dash. And it is a journey from beginning to end. And did not Jesus say, come, come and follow me. Come and I will do great things in your life. Come and I will make you fishers of men. Come and I'll bless you. Come and I'll show you a better way to live. And I want to challenge you today, church. We're on a journey. And I want to see you fulfill every bit of it to where we really come to that place and realize that not only did Jesus give us life, but He gave it to us more abundantly. That we have everything that God's got for us. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Where's the music team? Nick? Is Nick in here? You're not cutting grass? Okay, brother, come on. I'm joking. While they're coming up here, I want you to be thinking about, let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. And you ask yourself that question, where am I? Where am I going? And if you're here today and you don't know where you're going, you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, it is so simple that we baptized 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids this morning that have a true knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're on a journey. But I'm going to tell you up front, your journey is not a good one. It's not a good one without God. You're going to do a lot of things you wish you'd have never done. But if you will get on the right page and you'll get on that place and say, God, I want to be on a journey with you. I want to go. I want to follow you. And I want to be a disciple of yours. I want you to make that decision today. And if you do, after we get through, I want you to come up here and just talk to me and tell me I'm ready to go on that journey. But if y'all would, why don't you stand? And we're going to just take a few minutes here. And I want to invite you down here. And you may say, you know what, Brother Kenny, I am on a journey. But there's been times that I turned away. And I just need to know that I'm back on the right track. That I'm doing what God really wants me to do. And I really want to come and dedicate my life today. Even if you haven't turned and made a wrong turn in your life. You just want to come and say, Lord, I want more of you. I want to be excited about it. And I'm going to take a step of faith today. And I'm going to come down here and I'm just going to ask you to come and do what you need in my life. I want to surrender. I want to go to a higher level than I've ever gone. I want to come to a place that I know you in your fullness. That I know that your hand is upon me. And come on down right now if you're in that situation. Come on. And Lord, I want to do that. Just come on down here if you want to do that today. You want to just commit your life to the Lord and say, God, I want to be committed more than I've ever done. You might be a Spirit-filled, on fire Christian right now. But I'm going to tell you what, there's room for every one of us to get more. And I want to just open it up to let you come today. We're not going to be long. Just come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Such a
fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down. set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you. There's no place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just let the Lord minister to you. And as you go out these doors today, just tell yourself, I'm on a journey. I'm doing a great work for God. God's got a plan for my life, and I'm going to live it to the fullest. And I'm going to be everything that God says that I am. And I'm going to enjoy the ride while I'm going. Father, we thank you today, Lord God. We ask your blessings on every person here today, Lord. We ask your protection over them. We ask your prosperity to be loosed on them, Lord God, that you would use them this week. Use them as your instruments, Lord God, even as you told Jonah to go to do things. Lord, we take the Great Commission when you said go. Lord, we want to go. We're on a journey, Lord God, and we ask, Lord God, that it would be a great journey for you. People would know that we are the children of God and we have a place to go and things to do. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name.